Happy to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, and it's our Pet Care Tuesday. And today we're talking about helping your pet at the end of its life. With our guest back with us once again, Dr. Carrie Donahue. She is the owner of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Hospice and Euthanasia. She's been with us a number of times over the years, and it's always interesting to me, and I hope I'm sure it will be to you as well. And I want you to tell us about your own experiences you've had with an older pet. What helped you make important decisions about its medical care? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Dr. Carrie Donahue, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Oh, thank you. It's so good to be here.
I have two cats, and they're both getting up there.
How old are they?
13.
Okay.
So they're not the youngest anymore, yeah. And it's one of those things you start wondering. I mean, they seem to, they're in good health right now for the most part, but I've talked to some other folks just recently whose cat is not in good health, and looking at only quite a conversation, but I wasn't sure if I was being helpful in my conversation or not. I think I was, but it's always hard to talk about. How do you broach these conversations with pet owners?
Boy, it is. It is so hard to talk about just because it's a subject area that is just so filled with emotion. And you think about kind of getting to that point in your pet's life, and you think about loss and you think about life without them, and that just is the hardest thing to even think about and talk about. But I think it's so important to do so. And I think it's really important, and for our pets as well, to prepare and to make a plan for when they might get to that point. So it benefits them greatly. And I think as a veterinarian, it's our job. You know, it's something that it's absolutely necessary for us to talk to pet owners about that stage in their pet's life, especially if they're at a point where they're faced with maybe a terminal illness or something that's incurable, or their pet is getting to the point where really not much is helping as far as medications or treatments, and they might be starting to struggle or suffer. We have to have those conversations, and it's important to let people know that it's okay to think about, and it's not the worst thing, and it's something good that you can do for your pet if you start to make a plan for the end of their life.
Yeah. And you practice certainly conventional veterinary medicine, and holistic care is something that you've focused on a bit. Brings in a lot of alternatives, and both types of care seem to be important to you, and I believe.
Absolutely. Yes. Western medicine, Eastern medicine, the traditional, conventional, alternative. I think it's such a nice thing to be able to offer the combination of different therapies and treatments to pets, and that really comes into play as pets get older. And when they might not be able to tolerate certain medications as well, and they might be looking for alternative therapies. And then you can get into even just talking about supplements, talking about herbs, thinking about things like acupuncture and chiropractic care and massage. All of those alternative therapies can really be beneficial for older animals specifically.
Are there particular signs that a cat or a dog is nearing the end of its life?
Yeah, there are things that you can kind of start to notice, you know, when your pet seems to be making maybe a little bit of a decline. And appetite is a big one for a lot of animals. They can start to become a little bit more picky with their food and maybe not so willing to eat. And so you start to try different things and see if you can kind of get them back on track again. And sometimes that does happen and sometimes it doesn't. So appetite is one thing that can be an indicator. Thinking about, you know, signs of pain that might not be really controllable with things like medication. And if your pet, you might be giving pain medication, anti-inflammatory medication, and your pet still seems painful, that, you know, that's kind of a sign too that you might be getting to the end of their life. And I think another one is when they're not so willing to do things that they love to do.
Yeah.
Going for walks or even playing with their toys, engaging with their family, their friends, other dogs. You, when those things start to drop off, that really kind of gives you an indicator that things are slowing down, things are changing for them.
And can and homeowners, or maybe let me put it this way, how can homeowners manage their pet's pain at home, let's say?
Luckily, there are many things that you can do, even working with a veterinarian or working, you know, kind of on your own. So working with your veterinarian, there are a number of different pain medication options that are available, from aspirin-type medications to other ones like gabapentin or more controlled medications. And we can just continue to add things as needed. And there are also supplements that can be given that people can kind of research on their own and potentially get, you know, without a veterinarian's help. But it's always good to have their advice and guidance, or working with a holistic vet, you know, to kind of guide you in that alternative realm. But even something like massage, that's something that any pet owner can do, or even acupressure. They can kind of get guidelines. You can watch a YouTube video and really find out places that might be beneficial to massage on your pet. And then you kind of let your pet guide you and see if they're accepting of kind of your massage techniques or not.
Dr. Carrie Donahue, our guest today, owner of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Hospice and Euthanasia. You can join in with your comments. The number is 800-642-1234. Email to ideas at WPR.org. Talking about providing loving and end-of-life help for your cat or dog. And Mark and Bloomer will give you a chance to join in. Mark, hi.
Well, I didn't realize that it was an actual thing. I'm a hospice chaplain. I help human beings die every day. And about 2 years ago, our cats both went through what I, you know, jokingly called kitty cat hospice. I didn't know it was a real thing. But to watch my children holding the cat and petting the cat and just loving them through was a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And I want to thank you for what you're doing for our feline and our canine friends.
Well, Mark, thank you so much for calling.
Oh, thank you so much for what you do, too. And I think the veterinary hospice field is only growing because it's becoming more and more accepted in the human field. And veterinary medicine tends to follow the human medical, you know, kind of like all of those things. And so here we are, where veterinary hospice is becoming more and more of something that people can provide. And I will say, like what you went through with your cat, a lot of people provide hospice and they don't even realize it, you know. And really the goal is to make our pets as pain-free and as comfortable as possible at the end of their life, until they reach a point where either natural death occurs or the pet owner makes the decision to euthanize them.
Dr. Carrie and Mark, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. Maybe you can talk about your own services, because you offer hospice and euthanasia.
Right.
Sorry, but explain what you're Full Circle is all about.
Oh, okay. So primarily I do house calls. So this is a home service that I provide, and I would say most of what I do is in-home euthanasia. Hospice I do here and there, and that is sometimes just a phone call and kind of walking people through what extra things they can do to help support their pet if there is anything that they're able to do. Or I can do home visits to kind of check out the environment and see if there's anything I can offer that way, so that pet owners can, of course, support their pets and give them as good a quality of life as they possibly can. But the primary thing that I do is euthanasia. So going into somebody's home and providing the end-of-life services for their pet in a loving and peaceful and dignified way.
And you, let's see, how do I put this? You don't just show up one day and there are conversations and so forth that occur before.
Yeah, definitely. And we always encourage people to reach out either to me directly or the assistants that work with me just to kind of talk over what they're thinking. And I absolutely know that is the hardest phone call to make. You know, when you have a pet and you're thinking, okay, I need to call and make an appointment for euthanasia, making that call is extremely difficult. And I've done it myself before I went to vet school, and I could hardly even get the words out. So I know how that is, and we're here for everybody who is going through that situation. But we also offer email support and, you know, text messaging too, just because sometimes even just saying the words is so hard to do. But it is important to just kind of have the conversation and talk about what the pet owner is thinking and also what would potentially happen at that appointment so that they're prepared for everything that will come.
Let's take another call. Susan in Appleton, thank you for calling.
You're welcome, Larry. I thank you for this show and very much. I had a dog, a border collie named Ari. And Ari was 13 years old and he had tumors on his spleen, we found out. He went blind his last year. But he still had a really good quality of life. He was eating. I was able to take him on walks with his lead. But then at the end in May, he had hip issues. And then we realized that was it. But we were so grateful to our vet who came to our home. And Ari was able to stay in his own environment outside. And it was a beautiful experience. One additional thing that we did, which my sister Anne recommended, was to have her dog, who was a very big comfort and buddy to my dog, come over and lay with him. And it really made him calm and comforted and a very peaceful experience. So we just really appreciate the services of coming into the home and the whole atmosphere like that. It was beautiful. I have a question as well.
Sure.
I've had friends whose animals, they were clearly at the end of life, but my friends couldn't let go, and they hung on. And I was wondering what kind of questions I might be able to ask friends to think about taking that next beautiful step to give their animals the comfort that they need in being able to leave this world. So how would you approach it with friends or people that, you know, the animals really need to find their comfort, final comfort and peace.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good.
And I'll take that off the air.
Thank you, Susan. Yeah. Thanks for your words and thanks for your question. It's a good one.
Yes, thank you so much for sharing that with us. And, you know, I think that might be such an important thing, and maybe you've done this already, is sharing your experience with your friend. I think a lot of people are afraid of what might happen at the euthanasia appointment, and certainly, you know, even just thinking about making that decision is so hard, and it does take so much strength to do that, to make that decision for your pet. And I always think, you know, thinking of it in terms of it's not something that you are doing to them, but it's doing something for them. And we only do it because we love them so much and we don't want them to suffer. And animals absolutely know what our intentions are. And they know that we only do anything for them because we love them and we care for them and we don't want them to struggle. And like you said, having gone through this experience, and I mean, I really appreciate that you say that it was a beautiful thing, and I would agree with you. It's really a beautiful kind of transition that you can yeah. be there for your pet, and even just kind of sharing your experiences with your friends so that they have all of that, even the specific information of what happened during the procedure, so that there is no fear associated with that. And there's always going to be guilt. I mean, you really can't get away from that. And I think people feel so guilty about making that decision. But, you know, to me, there's nothing worse than seeing an animal suffer and seeing an animal struggle and letting them go peacefully and with dignity. I think that's such an important thing to stress, too, is animals should have dignity, and they shouldn't really have to struggle or, you know, kind of spend time when they're not able to move or when they might be going to the bathroom inside the house or on themselves. That's really hard. It's hard to see, and it's really hard on them as well.
Yeah. And Susan's comment about having the friend, the dog friend.
Oh, what a wonderful idea. And people always ask me that, too. Even just companion dogs in the household, should my pet be around or should I keep them away? And I usually say, you know, it's good for them to be around. It's good for them to kind of see what's going on. I think they certainly know much more than we think that they know. And I'm sure they know what's going on, but I kind of say, you know, let them decide where they want to be. If they want to be close to the other pet as they're passing, that's wonderful. If they don't, that's fine too. Just kind of let them make the decision.
Dr. Carrie Donahue, our guest today, owner of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Hospice and Euthanasia. I hope you'll join in with your own story or your own questions. Number to call is 800-642-1234, or you can email us to ideas@wpr.org. Clara Neipert's our producer today. Trina LaSusa, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. We're talking about providing a loving end-of-life help for your cat or your dog with our guest today, Dr. Carrie Donahue, owner and founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care in Madison, and she works in the Madison area, certainly, and has worked with many, many families with their pets over the years in almost any circumstance you could imagine. Questions or comments for her, maybe a story, I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org. Let's go back to the phones. Barbara in Grand Marsh, thank you so much for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I had a Leon Berger for many years, and she got cancer. I had a wonderful vet, Dr. Melissa, and Susie Sunshine was my dog's name, and she was at the clinic, and overnight, and the vet called me and said, Barb, I think it's time. Well, Dr. Melissa and myself are both Tinkerbell nuts. So when I came there, she brought Susie in. She laid on the floor. I laid next to Susie. And Dr. Melissa sprinkled pixie dust all over us and then gave Susie the shot. But when we went there, my husband and I went there, there was an eagle sitting on the side of the road. It didn't move. Then when we came back from the vet, there were two eagles sitting on the side of the road. Neither one of them moved. And Dr. Melissa told us that day that Susie had gone, an eagle flew over her car.
Oh,
my goodness. Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. And boy, if the years that I've done this too, you see signs afterwards and you really, really know that your pet is still with you. And that's just an important thing to remember too, is they only leave us physically. They're absolutely still with us. And you can see those special little things if you look. And, you know, and a wonderful vet that you have. And, you know, I just want to say, too, from our point of view as a veterinarian, we love your dogs and cats and your animals and so much. And seeing them go through life and the end of life, it can hit us pretty hard too. And we're right there with you when you're going through this experience.
Thank you so much, Barbara, for calling. Appreciate it. John emailed with something that relates to this. He lives in Bayfield County with his cat, where none of his local vets within at least 50 miles offer home euthanasia. Mm-hmm. And he wants to know, how can he go about trying to convince his vet that home euthanasia is helpful and caring option to offer down the road?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I think that's probably all he's going to be able to do at this point. If he is wanting home euthanasia, just try to have that conversation with your vet. And a lot of vets are willing to make the home visits either after clinic hours. The tough thing is that so many vet clinics are so busy these days, and taking the time is difficult. But I think if you could have that conversation and see if anybody would be willing to come to the house, especially for cats. Cats, even the car ride to the clinic can be so stressful and so hard on them, and it's not the last thing that you want to go through with them. So that's why I think doing the home visits for euthanasia for cats is really an important thing, if possible. And if not possible, maybe your vet would be able to prescribe kind of like anti-anxiety medication that you could give your cat, so that the trip to the clinic or being there is not stressful, so they could just relax and maybe sleep through that. That might be the next best thing that you'd be able to do.
Yeah, that's a good idea. My cats hate getting put in their cat carriers and taken
do.
To the,
yep.
I have to take both at the same time when they go for their checks, because otherwise they don't recognize each other. If when one goes and the other stays home, then they fight for 3 or 4 days.
Isn't that something that cats do? That, yeah, so good choice taking them both in together, but even that is a challenge with the two of them.
Well, yeah, there's two cat carriers, but it's a stressful,
mm-hmm.
they cry kind of the whole time in the car,
yeah.
And so.
Yeah, it is hard. And I will say, a lot of clinics now kind of recognizing that the time that end of life should be a more special and a more peaceful time, have separate rooms within the clinics where they provide euthanasia. And that's a really nice alternative to a place where you can just take all the time that you need. You can sit on the floor. Everyone's comfortable. So that is, just another alternative as well if you're not able to have a home visit.
Jeff and Barry Mills, we go to you now. Hi, Jeff. Thank you for calling.
Yes, I just wanted to share a story that happened to us it's been well over 20 years ago already. Our dog was diagnosed with a big growth on her ribs, on her side. And one day when she was outside, she walked down to the marsh, which is downhill quite a ways, maybe 30, 40 yards. And she laid down in the grass down there, like the canary grass above the swamp. And I found her down there, and my wife and I at the time fashioned a stretcher and carried her back up into the yard. And I'd like to give kudos to Dr. Dennis Knight from Coon Valley, who came out on a Sunday afternoon while we were sitting in the yard and euthanized her for us. And he cried right along with us.
Thank you for sharing that. Oh, my goodness. And, with your dog kind of walking away, that's a lot of times just what their instinct is. When they know that time is coming, they might, if you have a cat or a dog that stays indoors primarily, they might try to hide away. Or if you have a dog that goes outside, this certainly happened with my dog, where they'll just kind of start to wander off and find a place to go. And it's, you know, it's such a natural process for them to go through. It's like animals giving birth. They don't need special instructions. They just do it. And the same with kind of the dying process and death. Animals know how to do it. And of course, we're there and we want to make it how we want to make it for them. And we don't want them to be alone during that time. So what a wonderful story. And, you know, kind of giving the shout out to your vet, too, to come at that time and to be with you. And like I said, we cry right along with you because mean so much to us as well.
Jeff, thank you very much for calling. Let's take a call from Cecilia in Madison. Cecilia, hi. Thank you for calling.
Yes, thank you. I had wanted to thank you for having Dr. Carry on last year. I just moved to Madison with my newly 15-year-old giant lab and knew it might come soon. And she came and did a hospice visit and then came back to help him pass away in my apartment. First time I've ever done that with a dog or any animal, and the difference was incredible. Just the kindness, the soft-spoken. She stayed out of my eyesight. When I did turn around, she was kneeling, actually keeping everything very calm, and all the way through, unlimited time. And then when he had passed, I stepped away because I didn't want to see him. I thought he'd be put in some sort of bag. You know, you see body bags. I did turn around. He had been wrapped in a fuzzy blue blanket to be carried out. So I just want to thank Dr. Carey and thank you for having this information out there. So I had never even thought of this, and I'm so grateful to both of you.
Well, Cecilia, thank you.
Thank you so much. I absolutely remember. I remember that time, and thank you so much for your kind words. I really appreciate that, and that's the goal, is to just make this process and to make the procedure as peaceful and as loving, and like I said before too, I kind of repeat this, but as dignified as it possibly can be. And it's the hardest thing any pet owner ever has to go through. And if we can make things a little bit easier, a little bit better, that's the job that I'm there to do. And as Cecilia said as well, you know, a lot of people don't even realize that this service is available. And that makes sense because not everybody is looking for end-of-life care all the time, but just kind of knowing that when that time comes, that it is available. And a lot of vet clinics, you know, can give out that information when you're kind of faced with decisions on what's available for euthanasia services.
And I'm thinking now, in some instances, you take the pet.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Most often I do. And I work with a cremation service. So after, if the pet owner chooses cremation, whether it's a communal cremation or an individual cremation where they get ashes returned back to them, that's when I will take the pet with me to the cremation service. And so that's something that I coordinate, which is, you know, another load off of a pet owner who's dealing with a lot anyway, that they don't have to think about that. And some people choose home burial. If they have a spot at home that they would like to bury, then the pet stays with them.
Cecilia, thank you again. Much appreciate your call. Keith in Forest County will give you a chance to join in. Hi, Keith.
Good morning. This is possibly just a little off topic, but I want to give you an example of cat behavior using a cat carrier, which some of your listeners might find interesting as they're contemplating taking an animal for that final visit. Our cat, his name is Gravy, didn't like going to the veterinarian any more than any other cat did. And so we thought we could desensitize him to the carrier by leaving the carrier out in a guest room that wasn't used very often so he could see it, so it would be around and not be a frightening object. Well, one day, and this was years ago, one day we were looking for Gravy and we couldn't find him anywhere. And ultimately our search ended up in that guest room, and there he was. We had forgotten to close the door to the carrier. He had gone in and was sitting sleeping in the carrier. Well, subsequently, we have left it, the door open to that. That's become his office. He goes in there when he wants to be alone. He's been doing this for years, so that's been his private place in this carrier that he hates to use when going to the veterinarian. Maybe that would be useful to somebody.
Keith, oh, thank
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. That's such great advice. And look at the turnout on that. Perfect. Yeah, I think that's a great thing to do. Leave the carrier out, make it a nice place. Treats, toys, catnip in there, and who knows what might happen. It might make the next visit a lot easier.
I try to do that as well, although I don't leave it out all the time. Usually a few weeks before we're going to the vet, at least one of the carriers will be out.
Yes.
And they'll be in and out of it. I'll throw a blanket in there that they like, and they'll be, but they still aren't real happy about the door shutting.
Right.
Again, putting
yeah.
them in the car. I've got one for each of them, of course.
Oh, man. Yeah.
But I think it's a very good idea, and why not? They got a little den.
Right. I know. And the nice thing, too, is there are so many new types of carriers that are available. I feel like every time I see somebody bring a cat in, it's in this new type of carrier with different openings and different, you know, compartments and viewpoints. So there, if your cat doesn't like going in the traditional carrier that we've used for a long time, you might look at something else that might be a little bit easier to get them in, because that is the hardest part, is
yeah.
getting them in.
Well, mine open from the top.
Oh, that's
they have
nice.
That extra opening at the top, so mm-hmm. it's a lot easier.
It is than having the one at the front, and you got to kind of try to squeeze them in, and they can put the brakes on and put their you know arms and legs out, and that's tough.
And I found it's pretty easy actually to with that top.
Yes,
that top opening. I actually love that. It was a little more money, I guess, but sure worth it.
It's worth it,
extra
isn't
dollars.
It? Right. Yeah.
You can join in too. Number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us, the email address, ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Someone wonders about, well, could you talk more about hospice care? When we think about hospice care, we think about it in terms of great grandma or grandpa or going off, but talk about hospice care a bit more.
Well, hospice care, primarily this is what the pet owner would be providing for the pet in home. And hospice care can last for a week, it can last for a month or even longer until, I think, like I said before, until, you know, your pet passes, whether it's naturally or whether you choose euthanasia. But hospice care, the real focus and the goal is improving your pet's quality of life. And if that means managing pain with pain medications or other therapies, that can be a big part of it. Managing symptoms. There are other things that can come along with the end of life, and not just pain, but things like inappetence or not wanting to eat very much. And we can talk about nutrition or maybe making food for your pet, making something that's going to really get them to eat a little bit better. Talking about management of incontinence, you know, which is something mm-hmm. that can certainly happen, what you can do for that, and things that you can do around the house to make mobility a little bit easier, because that is such a big one. Especially you see it in the larger breed dogs, where mobility and the ability to even get up and get down is oftentimes a limiting factor, and that ends up being why people make that decision. So if there's anything that I could possibly recommend to help a pet move a little bit better, you know, that's kind of what I explain to people. And also even thinking about the disease process and what they might see. over the coming days and the coming weeks, depending on what kind of a diagnosis they might have gotten from their vet, whether it's cancer, heart failure, liver failure, kidney failure, or just severe arthritis. Those are the big ones, and what the days, coming days might look like.
Let's take a call from James in Wautoma. James, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hello. Do you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. Good. Thank you for the show. Real quickly, it was just maybe a no-brainer, but I really appreciated that my vet had me pay the bill before I went into the end-of-life room, and then I just held Chester and my dog, and the vet administered a shot. And we were together, and he fell asleep, and I could stay with him as long as I still cried.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye.
Oh, yeah. I know, and it's little things like that, kind of thinking about what might be the easiest kind of way of doing things at that point. And I absolutely agree with you. I usually have, you know, even a day or two before the appointment, if there's time, or sometime before, send a link for payment, just because it's not something that you want to be thinking about and dealing with after the fact. You just want to spend that time with your pet, or, you know, kind of other things have taken over at that point, other feelings.
Yeah. And in his case, he went to the veterinarian, and a lot of vet places I know have a sort of even a side door or a different door mm-hmm. for people to leave, so they don't have to be tears running down their eyes
oh,
as they carry their pet out the door.
Right. That it's just another one of those things to think about. And vet clinics make it, you know, a little bit better, because a lot of places do have that kind of a way that people can just go out quietly and not have to face anybody on their way out. And, you know, I will say, too, that's another kind of nice thing about doing the home visits is people don't have to worry about anything like that.
Yeah.
They're in their home. They might be with their family, and they can have as much time as they want. They don't have to have any sense of, oh, maybe another appointment is coming. So that is a benefit of being at home, one of many.
Dr. Carrie Donahue, our guest, and we have calls from Sherry and Gail coming up, but just a reminder that Dr. Carrie is the owner of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Hospice and Euthanasia. She works in Madison and certainly a surrounding area. I'm Larry Mueller, and you are listening to the Ideas Network. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller. We're talking about pet care, providing loving end-of-life health for your cat or your dog, with our guest today, Dr. Carrie Donahue, owner and founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care in Madison, hospice and euthanasia as well. And it's great to have her back. Certainly, if you have a question or comment or maybe an experience, we've heard some wonderful stories this morning on the show. The number is 800-642-1234. You can email us to ideas@wpr.org. Let's go next to, we've got Sherry and Gail coming up. Let's go to Sherry and then to Gail. Sherry, hi. Thank you for calling from Oshkosh.
Hi. I just wanted to share a story about how a friend of mine and I supported each other with the loss of our pets. It was a long time ago, but my friend lost her cat that she had had for 17 years, and it was her first loss. And so I was there. She was lucky to have a vet who came to the house, and I was there when it happened. But I could tell she was my friend was so devastated, and I asked her what she was going to do afterwards, and she didn't know. And then I kind of got the feeling that she was not going to leave the apartment. And so I told her I was going to call her the next day. And if she had not gone out yet, that I was going to pick her up. We were going to go to our favorite pizza restaurant and have a cat wake. And that's what we did. And that became a tradition for the two of us. It's been many years, and we've, kind of sounds crass, but we've been through a lot of cats. It was just, I feel like it was just the right thing to do. And I think a lot of people don't really get it, that it can often be just as bad as losing a human relative or friend or whatever. And I just wanted to contribute that.
Mm-hmm. Sherry, thanks for contributing that comment.
I absolutely agree with you. It is, and many people say that to me, that this, it was harder losing their pet than sometimes it is even family members. Well, pets are family. They are our family members, and they are with us unconditionally through thick and thin. And we can't say that for all of our family members, but pets are always there. And I think that's why the loss is so hard and it's so difficult, because they're such a big part of our lives. And how wonderful that you did that for your friend, and that you have this tradition. And I know you said you've been through a lot of cats. And if you're an animal lover and you're a pet lover, that's how it goes. You know, we go through this with our animals. And, you know, after losing one, we take some time and then we get back up again and say, life is much better with an animal or a pet, and we get another one and we start the process again. So, that's just one of those things. But I think having that kind of the, like what you said, the cat wake and an honoring sort of even ceremony, or just taking time to honor your pet, means so much, and it really does help with the grieving process. And the same can be said for even, you know, other animals in the household. When they lose a companion, they also go through a grieving process that is not always, you know, really recognized. But you can certainly see changes in your dogs and cats at home, and they can go through a depression. And I think it's kind of important to do what you kind of did with your friend and get them outside, get them meeting up with maybe other dogs, and take them special places and keep up with their routine, because they get sad as well and they miss their friends.
Gail in Green Bay, thank you so much for calling.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I just want to give out a shout to my sister-in-law. She recently moved here from California, and she had a large ranch in California, and she was able to take care of retired horses. Mm. In her career, she's had about 35 horses that she took care of, and 27 of those she actually had to put down, or they passed away. 5 years ago, she moved to the Hobart Green Bay area with 9 horses, and since then has lost 5. So she has, you know, a stable or a place she can keep 20 some horses. And she actually just lost another one about 2 weeks ago. But she really has a close relationship with her vet, and she just is a godsend to the horses. She spends time. She sometimes even sleeps with them at night when they're really sick and dying. So she's just an amazing person. She has chickens, and she also has 4 dogs. But she doesn't think she's going to take any retired horses in, because they'll probably outlive her. 2 of the oldest ones are 35. The one that just passed away 2 weeks ago was 29. So it's a big responsibility to take care of retired horses.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Gail, thank you so much. It is a big responsibility.
Oh, my gosh. Bless her heart for doing that for so long and helping so many animals and horses and helping them to live lives that are long and filled with care and love. And that's, you know, that's the best thing that we, any individual, can do. But really, she deserves recognition for the work that she's done.
Gail, thank you so much for sharing that story with us. Bill in Milwaukee, we go to you next. Hi, Bill.
Hi, everybody. I lived with my best friend until he was 17. He was a Cocker Spaniel, and he was my best friend. He used to get out when he was really old. He was deaf and blind, but he would get out and he'd start walking to the north. And one time I picked him up and turned him back to the south. He walked around me and continued to head north. I picked him up in my arms and said, forget it, not like this. A friend of mine told me he was living for me. Mm-hmm. His life was dark and silent. And so I took him to my vet, and I held him in my arms, and they shot him, and I got a kiss, and then I watched his eyes glaze over, and I held him in my arms until it was over. Mm-hmm. But he was my best friend. 17 years. That was pretty good.
That is. Yeah. That is really good. And I think you bring up a good point, even just saying how when you recognize that it was time to make the decision, you recognize that your dog was, you know, living for you, as you said. And I think this is what our pets do. And people just kind of wish that they would fall asleep and pass peacefully in their sleep. And sometimes it does happen. But a lot of times there is a lot of suffering and there's a lot of struggling for animals to get to that point. And they struggle on, I think, because they want to be strong for us. They want to be there for us. They're our protectors. That's their job to do, and they don't want to let us down. And I think that's a big part of why animals just, they linger on and they linger on, and they want to show us that they can be there for them. And it's important for us to even just say to our pets, you know, it's okay for you to go. Your job is done, and we have to be the strong ones so that they don't have to be anymore.
Rich from Siren had emailed, and he said years ago their vet helped them with the final decision for their first dog. She asked them, are you keeping her here for you, or are you keeping her here for her?
Mm-hmm.
And that really made a difference.
It really does. If you kind of switch it around and you think about it like that, of course we want to keep them with us as long as we possibly can, but we and I say too, we have to take on their suffering. We have to suffer so that they don't.
Pam in Three Lakes, thank you for calling.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hi. Yeah. Well, I was calling about my sister bought a lab, and she was so attached, but it had that hip dysplasia, and then it died at 8 years old. And I wish breeders would be just a little more careful, because he really took it hard.
Yeah.
And the person with the horses, you can give her my number, because I grew up on a horse, and I know how they suffer. And
yeah.
I have a rescue horse right now. I've had a couple of them. And, yeah, they never forget the abuse.
Yeah, Pam, thanks very much for calling. Comment, Carrie?
I kind of had a hard time hearing the comment.
Well, it was she was commenting on the sort of the agony of putting a pet down.
Yeah, it is. I think it's the hardest decision, and I will say this broadly, I think it's the hardest decision that humans have to make, because we don't do this for people. And I, as much as I absolutely truly believe it is a blessing to be able to do it for pets, to end suffering, it is the hardest decision that I think we ever have to make, because, you know, you're saying goodbye to your loved one.
And you provide such a valuable service. Are there resources? You're a great resource. Are there resources available to help people after the loss of their pet?
Oh, that's a good question. And that is, you know, that's a whole kind of a field that's starting to become more and more available. It's grief counseling for people who have lost their pets. And it can be a very difficult process to go through, and it's so nice to have somebody to talk to. And there are, through some of the cremation services in Madison, the cremation service that I use is up in Poinette, but they offer grief counseling. there, I work with a technician, and she just got certified in grief counseling. So you can always, you know, call Full Circle if you ever want to talk to anybody that way too. But there are people out there who can help you through that process and that grief that can last a long time.
Well, it's always a pleasure, Carrie, to talk with you, and I want to thank you so much for all for what you do and for and for being with us today. And I will be we'll do this again. And I appreciate it, you, and I appreciate what you do very, very much. So thank you.
Oh, thank you so much for saying that. And it's wonderful to hear the stories that everybody calls in with. That just makes my heart so full. So thanks so much for having me.
Dr. Carrie Donahue is the owner of Full Circle Veterinary Hospice and Euthanasia. She works out of Madison, but certainly works in the Madison area as well. And you can, we have a link on our The Larry Mueller Show website. But if you type in Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Hospice and Euthanasia, you're going to find her site. Well, coming up, we are going to change gears a little bit, but we're going to be talking about rescuing exotic pets. There are many exotic pets out there. Wisconsin doesn't really have a law about what you can keep as a pet. We'll talk about that, and we'll talk about Buddy the Snake and Cash the Hedgehog and some other pets, exotic pets that have needed the help of the services of John Moyles, and we'll talk with John next. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.